best look out the door.
Pastor's waiting to see who comes late so he can call them by name.
I think we'll start. Welcome to worship, everybody. I'm glad you're here. It's nice to have a little warmer weather and some sunshine, so I think everybody's ready for spring. Our call to worship today is Lord, I Lift Your Name on High. It's a song about how God was willing to, Christ was willing to come down from heaven to live a life here on earth and then die on the cross for us. He came to show us the way to eternal life, and this song is a good way that we can praise Him for that.
Start. Good morning, everybody. Good morning. Welcome to worship today. Nice place to be. The third commandment, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Today, we're going to read the Ten Commandments, right, Dale?
Pardon?
Today, you're going to read the Ten Commandments, right? Yeah? Yeah? Dale's reading, and I was thinking about that this morning. I bet you were there when they wrote the Ten Commandments. As I look at Dale, Dale's one of our newer members. Yeah, I got that hooked up, but your machine's not working, hey? Okay, you got to turn it on, Dale. Yeah, yeah. You know, that's what I had to do, and just in case. We got some visitors today. If the sermon gets long, people lift their watch up and go like this. And then I know you got to cut it down. That's what you have to do with those machines, too. I want to invite everybody to join us for Wednesday evening services, 5:30 potluck, 6:30 worship service. Also, Holy Week, I see that the announcement at the end of the month, we go to two services, Palm Sunday, 8:30 and 10 o'clock. During Holy Week, the Worship and Music Committee thought we would do something a little different. Usually our Maundy Thursday service is at 6:30, and Good Friday is at 9 a.m., service of the nails. We're going to put both services at 9 a.m., Maundy Thursday and Good Friday, and then Easter services are at 8 and 10. Last week we heard that our friend Jim turned 60, so that was pretty much the end of our youth group. And the youth group used to serve Easter morning breakfast. So this year we don't have any youth group to serve Easter morning breakfast, So I'm just going to lift that up to you. Someone said, let's just have hot cross buns or something like that, or just have normal coffee in between. Or someone said, why don't we have people bring egg bake? Yeah, I'm going to bring an egg bake, but that ain't going to work. Anyway, why don't you talk about it and see what we'd like to do? I know Easter, some of you travel, and some other things are going on. So anyway, your Easter services are at 8 o'clock and 10 o'clock, okay? Nice to have you here. It's important that we take time out of our lives to worship God, to thank Him for His blessings. Let's begin with a word of prayer. Oh Lord, we gather on this March morning as we turn our clocks ahead for what we call daylight savings time. We know that your clock is not our clock. Your time is not our time. Your Spirit moves when and where it wills. And your Spirit has moved in our lives. This morning, as we focus our hearts and minds on you, we pray your Spirit might move us and surround us and live in us and remind us of your love for us. So send your Spirit, stir your Spirit, Lord, for we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.
The opening hymn is just as I am, Jesus take all of me. So the first part of the song is a familiar song from the Billy Graham Crusades that probably all of us remember. But the addition is Jesus take all of me. And in these lines, we ask God to take our life and let it be His.
Share for me and that.
rise. Let us turn to the order of confession and forgiveness in our bulletins. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God who brings us out of captivity into freedom, out of the wilderness into the promised land, out of death into life. Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Let's take a moment for silent confession. Holy God, holy and mighty, holy and immortal, for self-centered living, for failing to walk with humility and gentleness.
Holy God, holy and mighty, holy and immortal, have mercy on us.
For longing to have what is not ours, and for hearts that are not at rest with ourselves.
Holy God, holy and mighty, holy and immortal, have mercy on us.
For misuse of human relationships, and for unwillingness to see the image of God in others.
Holy God, holy and mighty, holy and immortal, have mercy on us.
For jealousies that divide families and nations, and for rivalries that create strife and warfare.
Holy God, holy and mighty, holy and immortal, have mercy on us.
For reluctance in sharing the gifts of God, and for carelessness with the fruits of creation.
Holy God, holy and mighty, holy and immortal, have mercy on us.
For hurtful words that condemn, and for angry deeds that harm.
Holy God, holy and mighty, holy and immortal, have mercy on us.
For idleness in witnessing to Jesus Christ, and for squandering the gifts of love and grace. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us, and for his sake God forgives us all our sins. Through the Holy Spirit, God cleanses us and gives us the power to proclaim the mighty acts of the one who called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Sisters and brothers in Christ, beloved children of God, grace, mercy, and peace be with you all.
And also with you.
Let's join in the Lord's, or in the prayer of the day. Holy God, through your Son, you have called us to live faithfully and act courageously. Keep us steadfast in your covenant of grace, and teach us the wisdom that comes only through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated as we invite the praise team to sing their anthem.
The anthem that Jim will be singing this morning is "I Will Rise." It's based on Revelation 5:12, which says, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and praise." Jesus is the peace and the anchor that we have in our lives. Our bodies may fail us because of disease or pain or sorrow, but in all these we can boldly say it is well, because we know Jesus has overcome death for our sake. When Jesus calls us, we can be assured that there will be no more crying, no more pain, no more sorrow, and that's a wonderful day that we can look.
Though my heart and flesh may fail, I know I got to get older, but I don't want to get old. Happy Sunday. This is the day the Lord hath made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. These are his words.
No.
You know, I've only been a member of this church for a little over a year, and a lot of you guys have been here for years and years, but you know what? He don't like it when I compliment him, but I'm going to do it anyway. Sorry about that. You know the way he greets us every Sunday morning, the way he greets us during the week, the way he treats this flock of his is amazing. And you know, one of the big things I know about him is Romeo's. That's precious, that Bible study morning, Thursday morning, Pastor Jim. And I'm hoping that if any of you have not been there, that you should consider coming to it. I guarantee you, once you start, you'll come back. You'll keep coming back. Anyway, you're genuine, Pastor. And you're so full of it.
I hope you mean the Holy Spirit.
The Holy Spirit. You didn't let me finish. The Holy Spirit.
Spirit, I better finish before you forget.
After escaping from slavery, the Israelites come to Mount Sinai, where God teaches them how to live in community. The Ten Commandments proclaim that God alone is worthy of worship. Flowing from God, the life of the community flourishes when based on honesty, trust, fidelity, and respect for the life, family, and property. Then God spoke all these words. I am the Lord, your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other God before me. You shall not make for yourself an idol, whether in the form of anything that is in heaven above, or that is on the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them or worship them. For I, the Lord, your God, am a jealous God, punishing children for their for the iniquity of parents, to the third and fourth generation of those who reject me, but showing steadfast love to the thousands of generation of those who love me and keep my commandment. You shall not make wrongful use of the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not acquit anyone who misuses his name. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath to the Lord your God. You shall not do any work, you, your son or your daughter, your male or female slave, your livestock, or the alien resident in your towns. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that is in them, but rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the seventh day and consecrated it. Honor your father and your mother, so that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not fear false witness against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, or male, or female, slave, or ox, or donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbor. And from the Psalm 19, please note the refrain. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the sky proclaims its maker's handiwork. Although they have no words or language, and their voices are not heard,
their song is not audible to all the lands, and their message to the ends of the world. For God has pitched a tent for the sun.
It comes forth like a bridegroom out of his chamber. It rejoices like a champion to run its course. The commandment of the Lord gives light to the eyes. The teaching of the Lord is perfect and revives the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure and gives wisdom to the simple.
The statutes of the Lord are just and rejoice the heart. The commandment of the Lord is clear and gives light to the eyes.
The fear of the Lord is clean and endures forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. Light to the eyes. By them also is your servant enlightenment, and in keeping them there is great reward.
Who can detect counsel and consciences? Cleanse me from my secret thoughts.
Above all, keep your servant from presumptuous sins. Let them not get dominion over me. Then shall I be whole and sound, and innocent of a great offense. Please rise for the reading of the gospel. Let me step down here.
The Holy Gospel for this third Sunday in Lent is found in the second chapter of St. John, beginning with the 13th verse. Jesus attacks the commercialization of religion by driving merchants out of the temple. When challenged, he responds mysteriously with the first prediction of his own death and resurrection. In the midst of a seemingly stable religious center, Jesus suggests that the center itself has changed. The Passover of the Jews was near, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. In the temple, he found people selling cattle, sheep, and doves, and the money changers seated at their tables. Making a whip of cords, he drove all of them out of the temple, both the sheep and the cattle. He also poured out the coins of the money changers and overturned their tables. He told those who were selling the doves, "Take these things out of here.
"Stop making my Father's house a marketplace." His disciples remembered that it was written, "Zeal for your house will consume me." Then the Jews said to him, "What sign can you show us for doing this?" Jesus answered them, "Destroy this temple, and in three days I will raise it up." The Jews then said, "This temple has been under construction for 46 years, and will you raise it up in 3 days?" But he was speaking of the temple of his body. After he was raised from the dead, the disciples remembered that he had said this, and they believed the scripture and the word that God had spoken. The word of God, the word of life. Please be seated. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. A fellow by the name of Leland Gregory wrote a book called Stupid History, and he told a story of a colossal error that once occurred in transmitting the Ten Commandments. 1631, King Charles I ordered 1,000 Bibles to be printed from a printer named Robert Barker. Printing was not an exact science in those days, and sometimes mistakes were made, but usually just overlooked, but not in this case, because Barker inadvertently left out a single word in the sixth commandment in Exodus chapter 20, verse 14, and the word was "not." And so readers were shocked to find out that God had commanded Moses, "Thou shalt commit adultery." Readers were shocked to find that out. And Charles was not amused by this mistake. He ordered all those Bibles to be destroyed. And so he fined Barker 300 pounds sterling, which was a lifetime wages in those days. So Barker lost his business and became poor for the rest of his life. He ordered all the Bibles to be destroyed. Today, there are 11 that are still in existence that people have found. And because of this mistake, the printing of this King James Bible is known as the Wicked Bible. Just because of that one word being missed, I don't have to tell you that many people would like to rewrite these commandments, and they would rewrite them in a lot of different ways. There have been many efforts to post the commandments in public spaces. We've heard about stories, especially down south, where they want to put them in the in public places, in courthouses, and so forth. One cynic said the real reason that the Ten Commandments aren't in the courthouse is that when you post, "Thou shalt not steal," "Thou shalt not commit adultery," "Thou shalt not lie," in the building full of lawyers and judges and politicians, it would create a hostile work environment. Maybe so. But as far as public places are concerned, I prefer that the great commandment that Jesus talked about be posted there. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, with all your mind. And the second is just as important. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love for God and love for neighbor is what life should be about. It tells us everything we need to know about the Ten Commandments. I think we'd be more in touch with the teachings of God and the example of Jesus if we followed these two commandments. I read in one of my journals that recently 97% of the Americans said that the Ten Commandments are important. But then it said only 5% could remember only three of them. I'm not going to give you a quiz today. I'm sure between all of us we'd come up with the 10. But how many, do that on your own sometime this week. Huh? Here's an abbreviated version of the 10 Commandments. Have no other gods. Never take the name of the Lord in vain. Don't swear. Remember the Sabbath day. Honor your mother and father. Don't murder. Don't commit adultery. Don't steal. Don't lie or gossip. And then 9 and 10, don't covet your neighbor's house, don't covet your neighbor's. I call them, don't covet your neighbor's dead things, don't covet your neighbor's live things. I want to make a few observations about the Ten Commandments this morning, because these are really at the heart of the Judeo-Christian faith. Jews and Christians hold these up and honor them quite well. First of all, I would say the Ten Commandments were given to us for our protection. There's a popular misconception. I remember I always ask my confirmation kids about why the Ten Commandments were given to them. And generally I get, one kid said, well, God's an old fuddy-duddy who doesn't want us to have any fun. And I suspect some of you might, no, I won't go there. That's not true. It's simply not true. God wants us to have fun. God wants us to enjoy our lives. God wants us to find joy and happiness in everything we say and do. However, nothing would be more miserable than trying to live in a land where these laws were totally disregarded. Have you ever thought about that? Can you imagine a society where stealing and murder were rampant? Maybe we get a glimpse of that in Al-Qaeda and so forth, some of those ISIS groups out there. Can you ever imagine a society where people ditched their parents when they got old and didn't take care of them? Can you imagine a society where adultery was rampant? Nothing could be more miserable than living in a land where these commandments were totally disregarded. These commandments were given for our protection, to help us get along with one another, to help us live better with one another. An author named Stanley Baldwin was telling a story about he and his family when they were traveling on the Pacific coast during World War II. In World War II, they blacked out all of the towns at night. Well, at dusk, little Stanley was with his sister and parents, and they were visiting. They stopped at one of these rest side stops, and little Stanley got out and was running and was jumping over some kind of a cement block thing here to go down to the beach. And his sister hollered, no, 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 don't go. And then some soldiers came and put a big light on him and said, get out of here. He didn't, I mean, they were protecting the West Coast. They were thinking that the Japanese were going to attack. Well, the next day, they went down to the same place. Little Stanley climbed the wall. Unbeknownst to him, that wall went 40 feet down to nothing but rocks. If he would have jumped over, he would have fallen to his death. And so he thought, you know, maybe that's a lot like the Ten Commandments. That rather than standing as an obstacle to living a full life, they channel life directly toward a goal of full and joyous life. These commandments are there to channel us and give us joy and happiness and purpose. Huh? Richard Eyre, in another book, said, it was entitled, Don't Just Do Something, Sit There. Don't just do something, sit there. It tells a story about something that was happening in their church. It seems in this congregation, a laborer was the head of the church. They called him a bishop in that denomination. So he was there, and they also had a very high-paid, expensive, highly trained psychiatrist therapist who was a member of the church. And it so happened that several people in the congregation would visit with the bishop, just a common laborer like you. Well, like you and me, I was going to say. I mean, none of them. Anyway, just common labor, okay? And then they would go and see this high-paid counselor. And it seems like some of them told that high-paid counselor they were getting more out of the visits with the bishop, common labor, than they were from this trained fella. And so this troubled the therapist professionally, so he went to the bishop and asked him what his secret was. What methods or teachings or counseling or therapy did he use that were so effective in helping people with their mental and emotional health? And the bishop took the question very seriously, and he says, well, you know what, I just ask them questions and until I figure out what commandment they're breaking, then I tell them to stop it. Maybe he's on to something. I mean, there's no question that you can't willingly violate any of God's laws and have a completely satisfying life. Break those laws and your life isn't going to be all that great. Ten commandments were given to us by God for our protection, to help us live a better life. Now, it's helpful to note that the Ten Commandments are divided into three parts. The first two commandments deal with our relationship with God. Thou shalt have no other gods before me.
You should not make yourself for yourself a graven image of any form, above the earth or on the earth or from the waters below. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God. These are the first two commandments. No other gods. They begin with God. Our heart's focus should be on God, the Creator, the Lord, the Savior. H.G. Wells, all of you have heard of him, great famous writer and thinker. He once said that if there isn't a God, nothing matters. If there is a God, nothing else matters. That's true. If there isn't a God, nothing matters. If there is a God, nothing else matters. God's number one. God's our focus. Huh? So we begin by pledging our allegiance to God in the Ten Commandments about everything in life. We'll have no other gods before him. Not our money, not power, not comfort, not status. We won't make any graven images fall down before our flag, for instance, of our country. God's first in all things. We'll reverence his name in all things. And in everything we do, we'll try to bring honor to his name. The first commandments deal with our relationship with God. The third commandment deals with our relationship with ourself. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy, huh? That might surprise you, because we think, isn't the Sabbath part of what we owe to God? Well, yes, but remember what Jesus said when he was criticized by the Pharisees for allowing the disciples to pick some heads of grain while they were going through the grain field on the Sabbath? They weren't supposed to work. Disciples wandered through, picked some grain, and the Pharisee says, "When? That's illegal. You can't work." And Jesus says, "The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath." This is an amazing, liberating teaching by Jesus. The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. The Pharisees had all kind of legalistic rules about doing things on the Sabbath. Brought real hardship to the people. I mean, they even criticized Jesus, if you remember, for healing a man on the Sabbath. It's stunning for Jesus to say something like, "Sabbath was meant for humans, not humans for the Sabbath." Some of you might protest, but what does that say about worship on the Sabbath? God does mean for us to worship on the Sabbath. But worship isn't for God. God doesn't need our worship. Worship is for us. We need to praise. We need to pray. We need to focus some thoughts on God, the Creator, the Lord of all. At least once a week, we need to affirm what's critical in our lives. God. Everybody needs a Sabbath, a time for rest, time for reflection. When the Bible was written, it was common for the average laborer to work 7 days a week. And God says, that's not right. Everyone needs a Sabbath. Everyone needs a rest. Working all the time is counterproductive. A few years ago, my wife and I took a trip out west. We got on the Oregon Trail and followed that some along the trail. Stopped at one of the museums. There was a story there. Back in the 1880s, a wagon train was heading from St. Louis to Oregon. The members were devout Christians, so the whole group had promised they would stop on the Sabbath day and rest. Well, as they got closer into fall and toward winter, there were some that said, "We don't want the snows to get us. We'll freeze in the mountains if the snows come." So they suggested that they ride, keep going on the Sabbath. And that caused a big rift in this religious organization. Finally, they decided, let's take a vote. Half of them decided to keep going 7 days a week. And the others said, "We're going to still remember the Sabbath." Guess which group got to Oregon first? Well, that's right. The ones who kept the Sabbath day. They reached Oregon first, safe and sound. The others got in trouble. People and their horses who were rested on the Sabbath did very, very much better those 6 days by working. They could travel more effectively and stronger. Everyone needs and deserves a Sabbath. And God doesn't need our worship. We need to take some time to remember who he is and what he has done for us. Well, the final six commandments deal with our relationships with others. Huh? Honor your father and mother. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony against your neighbor. Shall not covet your neighbor's house. Shall not covet your neighbor's wife or anything that belongs to your neighbor. These are common sense rules for organizing society. We couldn't live together without these rules that have been passed down. So, as I think about us living in the 21st century, we live in a time when morality is considered to be relative. It depends on situations and all the rest of that. The absolutes are said to be outmoded. But I believe that one reason we need to take them seriously is first and foremost because we are followers of Jesus. Second, these Ten Commandments are really gifts to us from God as to how we can better get along with each other, how we can better live our lives so that at the end of the day we can find a little joy and a little peace in our hearts. These are really a gift. And so during this time of Lent, I'd invite you to take a look at them again. See how you're fitting in with the Ten Commandments. See if they make a difference in how you live. Take a good hard look at them again. Amen. May God's peace and love be with us this season of Lent. Amen. This time we'll invite the ushers to receive our morning offering. We'll ask the praise team to lead us in another hymn. Thank you.
Please rise. Let us turn to the offertory prayer on the bottom of page 5. Let us pray together. God, our provider, you have not fed us with bread alone, but with words of grace and life. Bless us and these your gifts, which we receive from your bounty, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Led by Christ in our journey of repentance, and moved by his compassion, let us pray for the church, those in need, and all of God's creation. Let's take a moment for silent prayer. We pray for church leaders everywhere, that they be guided by your Spirit, preach the gospel faithfully, and lead a broken world into reconciliation. Lord, in your mercy. We pray for your creation everywhere, for the waters that nourish life, for vegetation that fills the earth, and for animals of every shape and species. Lord, in your mercy. We pray for missionaries everywhere, that they encounter the face of Christ and see your hand at work as they venture into new places and meet new people. Lord, in your mercy. We pray for hurting people everywhere, that they receive hope and healing. Be with those looking for work, battling addiction, mourning the loss of someone they love, or experiencing illness. We especially remember in our prayers this morning our friends Darwin and Judy and Linda and Patty and Ron and all those others in our lives who need your healing touch. Lord, in your mercy, we pray for this worshiping community. Make us faithful companions to those preparing for baptism, marriage, or participation in Holy Communion. And prepare us to welcome newcomers in our midst. Lord, in your mercy. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for this gift you have given to us, the gift of the Ten Commandments. Help us to look at them with new eyes and to see that you have our best intentions behind them. We pray for those snowbirds who are traveling in the south. Keep them safe and in your loving care. We remember this morning our friend Marlis LeClaire as she packs her bags to move to a new place. Allow your holy angels to accompany her on her way. And Lord, if you could look at our families and friends and smile upon them, and let them know that they are loved and cared for, and allow us to be a part of their lives and growth, we would sure appreciate that. So remember your covenant with us, Lord. And keep us faithful to your commandments until we join with all the saints around your heavenly throne. Lord, in your mercy. Into your hands, gracious God, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. We'll invite the praise team to lead us in the Lord's Prayer.
Our Father,
which art in heaven,
hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come.
Please bow your hearts and receive the benediction. The blessing of Almighty God, the wisdom and power of Christ Jesus, and the light of the Holy Spirit be among you and remain with you now and always.
Amen.
Go in peace. Remember the poor.
Thanks be to God.
Let's close with Jesus, keep me near the cross.
Amen. Mm-hmm.